Picture this. It's a dark, moonless night. You're standing in the ruins of an ancient castle surrounded by centuries of history and whispered legends. Suddenly, your EMF meter starts beeping frantically and a cold breeze brushes against your neck. Is it just the wind? Or is there something or someone trying to make contact? This is the world of ghost hunting, where the line between the living and the dead blurs, and ordinary people become extraordinary investigators of the unknown. Happiest day, beautiful soul. Welcome back to The Medium Matters, the podcast where we're all mini mystics learning about the paranormal, the supernatural, and all the things together. And everyone loves a good tour through time. I'm your host, Chantel, and today we're diving into the fascinating world of ghost hunting. We'll uncover its rich history and explore the tools and techniques that have shaped this mysterious field. So grab your EMF meters and night vision goggles because we're about to embark on a journey through time and the paranormal. Let's start our journey at the beginning. Ghost hunting, believe it or not, isn't just a modern fascination. It's been around for centuries, evolving alongside human curiosity and technological advancements. In ancient times, people didn't exactly go ghost hunting as we know it today. Instead, they had shamans, priests, and other spiritual leaders who acted as mediators between the world of the living and the realm of the dead. These early ghost hunters relied on rituals, ceremonies, and their own intuition to communicate with spirits. In ancient Mesopotamia, priests known as exorcists were called upon to identify and banish evil spirits. They used incantations, rituals, and even early forms of divination to detect supernatural presences. These early ghost hunters were respected members of society, often working closely with royalty and nobility. Moving to ancient Egypt, we find a culture deeply invested in the afterlife. The Book of the Dead, which is a collection of spells and instructions for the deceased, shows how seriously Egyptians took the concept of spirits. While not exactly ghost hunting, their elaborate burial practices and beliefs about the soul's journey after death laid the groundwork for later paranormal investigations. In ancient Greece and Rome, ghosts were a common feature in literature and daily life. The Greek historian Pliny the Younger wrote one of the first recorded ghost stories in the 1st century AD. This tale of a haunted house in Athens describes many elements we still associate with hauntings today: rattling chains, a pale apparition, and a restless spirit seeking proper burial. As we move into the Middle Ages, the concept of ghosts became increasingly tied to religious beliefs. The Catholic Church played a significant role in shaping people's understanding of spirits, often attributing ghostly phenomena to demons or souls in purgatory. Priests would perform exorcisms or offer prayers for the dead, serving as the ghost hunters of their time. Fast forward to the 19th century, and we see the birth of what we might recognize as modern ghost hunting. This era coincided with the rise of spiritualism, a religious movement based on the belief that the spirits of the dead could communicate with the living. The spiritualist movement began in 1848 with the Fox Sisters in New York. These young women claimed they could communicate with spirits through a series of knocks and raps. While later revealed to be a hoax, their claims sparked a widespread fascination with the paranormal that spread rapidly across America and Europe. Seances became popular during this time, with mediums claiming to channel spirits for paying customers. These gatherings often involved dramatic elements like table tipping, automatic writing, and the appearance of ectoplasm, a substance supposedly produced by spirits during seances. It was during this period that we see the emergence of what we might recognize as modern ghost hunting techniques. For example, spirit photography, pioneered by William H. Mumler in the 1860s, claimed to capture images of ghosts on film. While a lot of these photographs were later debunked, the idea of using technology to document paranormal activity really took hold. Another significant development was the founding of the Society for Psychical Research, or SPR, in London in 1882. This organization, which still exists today, was one of the first to apply scientific methods to the investigation of paranormal phenomena. They conducted controlled experiments, gathered eyewitness accounts, and published their findings in peer-reviewed journals. The SPR's approach marked a shift toward more systematic and skeptical ghost hunting. They introduced the concept of crisis apparitions, which is ghostly appearances coinciding with a person's death, and conducted large-scale surveys to gather data on paranormal experiences. As we move into the 20th century, ghost hunting began to incorporate more technology. In the 1920s, for example, Thomas Edison reportedly worked on a spirit phone to communicate with the dead. One of the most famous early ghost hunters was Harry Price, a British psychic researcher active in the 1920s and 30s. Price investigated numerous haunted locations, including the infamous Borley Rectory, once dubbed the most haunted house in England. He brought a scientific approach to ghost hunting, using various instruments and controlled experiments to try and prove the existence of the paranormal. These early pioneers laid the groundwork for the ghost hunting we know today. They showed that investigating the paranormal could be more than just folklore and superstition. It could be approached with methodology and critical thinking. So let's fast forward to the late 20th and early 21st centuries. This is when ghost hunting really exploded in pop culture. The 1970s and 1980s saw a resurgence of interest in the paranormal, partly fueled by movies like The Amityville Horror and Poltergeist. But it was the advent of reality TV in the late 1990s and early 2000s that really catapulted ghost hunting into the mainstream. We had shows like Ghost Hunters, which premiered in 2004, which brought the thrill of paranormal investigation into living rooms across the world. Suddenly, everyone could see what it was like to explore a haunted location armed with high-tech equipment and a sense of deep adventure. This ghost hunting renaissance wasn't just about entertainment, though. It also sparked a renewed interest in the scientific investigation of paranormal claims. Organizations like the Atlantic Paranormal Society, or TAPS, founded by Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson of Ghost Hunters, aimed to bring a more rigorous approach to ghost hunting. The internet also played a huge role in this renaissance. Suddenly, ghost hunters from around the world could connect, share their experiences, and debate their techniques. Online forums and social media groups became hotbeds of paranormal discussions, allowing amateur investigators to learn from more experienced ghost hunters. This period also saw a boom in ghost hunting equipment. While early investigators relied mainly on their senses and simple tools like cameras, the modern ghost hunter had access to a wide array of specialized devices. The ghost hunting renaissance brought the field out of the shadows and into the spotlight. It really made ghost hunting accessible to anyone with an interest in the paranormal, whether they were skeptics looking to debunk claims or believers hoping to prove the existence of ghosts. So now, let's talk about some of the tech. The tools of the ghost hunting trade have come such a long way since the days of Harry Price. Let's explore some of the most common devices you'll find in a modern ghost hunter's toolkit. First up, we have the EMF reader. EMF stands for electromagnetic field, and these devices are designed to detect fluctuations in electromagnetic energy. The theory is that spirits emit or manipulate electromagnetic fields, so sudden spikes on an EMF meter could indicate paranormal activity. But of course, it is very important to note that there are a lot of everyday objects that can cause a spike in an EMF reader. For example, cell phones and electrical wiring. Next, we have digital voice recorders. These are used for EVP sessions, which is electronic voice phenomenon. Ghost hunters use these to try and capture voices or sounds that aren't audible during the investigation. They'll often ask questions and leave pauses for potential responses, then review the recordings later for any unexplained sounds. Infrared or night vision cameras are another staple of ghost hunting. These allow investigators to see in low light conditions without using visible light, which some believe could interfere with paranormal activity. Some ghost hunters also use full spectrum cameras, which can capture light beyond what the human eye can see. Temperature guns or thermal imaging cameras are used to detect cold spots or unexpected temperature fluctuations. The idea is that ghostly presences might affect the temperature of their surroundings. Spirit boxes. These devices rapidly scan through radio frequencies, creating white noise that some believe spirits can manipulate to communicate. Motion sensors. So these are often used to detect movement in areas where no one is present. These can be particularly useful in conjunction with video cameras to capture any unexplained movements. Dowsing rods. These L-shaped metal rods have been used for centuries to find water, minerals, and even missing persons. In ghost hunting, they're believed to move in response to spiritual energy. Trigger objects. These are items placed in haunted locations to encourage spirit interaction. They can be anything from children's toys in a location associated with child spirits to personal objects of the deceased. Ouija boards. You know this one is my all-time favorite. So the Ouija board was popularized during the spiritualist movement and remains a controversial tool in ghost hunting. Many professional investigators avoid them due to their association with negative experiences. I will give that a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. K2 meters. Similar to EMF meters, K2 meters are favored by some investigators for their simplicity and responsiveness. They use a series of lights to indicate EMF strength. Geiger counters. While primarily used to detect radiation, some ghost hunters use these devices based on the theory that spiritual activity might be associated with changes in radiation levels. And let's not forget one of the most important tools, the humble flashlight. Not only is it essential for navigating dark spaces, but some ghost hunters use flashlight communication sessions where they ask spirits to turn a flashlight on or off in response to questions. So while these tools can provide interesting data, they're definitely not foolproof evidence of paranormal activity. A good ghost hunter always looks for natural explanations first and approaches their findings with a critical eye. I definitely would not make a good ghost hunter because I always lean paranormal first. Who's with me? Who is with me? So now that we've covered the tools, let's talk about how ghost hunters actually use them. Ghost hunting isn't just about wandering around dark places with fancy equipment. There are specific techniques and methods that investigators use to try and gather evidence of paranormal activity. Before any investigation, thorough research into a location's history is usually performed. This includes studying old newspapers, property records, speaking with historians, interviewing current and former occupants, and researching any reported paranormal activity. This background information can help inform their investigation and provide context for any experiences or evidence they gather. Baseline readings. Investigators take initial readings of temperature, EMF levels, and other environmental factors to establish a baseline for comparison during their investigation. Controlled vigils. This involves sitting quietly in a haunted area for extended periods, often in the dark, to observe any unusual occurrences. One of the most common techniques is the EVP session we mentioned earlier. Ghost hunters will typically find a quiet spot, set up their voice recorders, and start asking questions. They might ask simple yes or no questions, or more open-ended questions like, "What's your name?" or "Why are you here?" Between each question, they'll leave a pause for potential responses. Another popular method is the trigger object technique. This involves placing an object that might have significance to any spirits present, perhaps something related to the history of the location. Investigators might surround this object with motion sensors or cameras to see if there is any kind of movement. We talked about this one just a minute ago, and that is flashlight communication. So with this technique, ghost hunters will set up a flashlight that can be easily turned on and off and invite any present spirits to use it to communicate. They might ask yes or no questions, requesting one flash for yes and two for no. Many ghost hunters also use the call and response technique. This involves making a noise like a knock or a clap and then waiting to see if there's any response. Some investigators believe that spirits try to mimic or respond to these sounds. Temperature mapping is another method used by some investigators. This involves systematically measuring and recording the temperature throughout a location to identify any unusual cold or hot spots that can't be explained by drafts or heating systems. There is photography and video recording. So, continuous recording throughout an investigation can capture unexpected phenomena. Investigators often take hundreds of photos looking for anomalies like orbs or apparitions. There is the psychic walkthrough. Some teams include sensitives or mediums who sense spiritual energy or communicate with spirits directly. And some investigators use provocation techniques where they might challenge or even taunt any spirits that are present. So this technique is definitely controversial within the ghost hunting community because a lot of people feel that it's disrespectful and potentially dangerous. The thing to remember is, you know, the goal of these techniques, it's not just to have that spooky experience, it's to gather data that can be analyzed and potentially used to support or refute claims of paranormal activity. So the field of ghost hunting has had its share of colorful characters and dedicated researchers. Let's look at some of the most influential figures who have shaped the practice over the years. Harry Houdini. While famous for his escapology, Houdini spent a significant part of his career debunking fraudulent mediums. His skeptical approach to paranormal claims set a precedent for future investigators. Hans Holzer. Often called the father of modern ghost hunting, Holzer investigated thousands of cases and wrote over 100 books on the paranormal. He popularized many of the methods still used today. Ed and Lorraine Warren. This husband and wife team became household names in the paranormal world. They investigated high-profile cases like Amityville and even inspired the Conjuring film series. Zach Bagans. As the host of Ghost Adventures, Bagans has brought ghost hunting into the mainstream, popularizing a more aggressive investigation style. Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson. The founders of the Atlantic Paranormal Society, or TAPS, and stars of Ghost Hunters, they promoted a more scientific approach to paranormal investigation. Lloyd Auerbach. A parapsychologist and author, Auerbach has been a prominent figure in ghost hunting since the 1980s, emphasizing the importance of combining scientific methods and psychic impressions. Throughout the history of ghost hunting, there have definitely been some investigations that have captured the public imagination and become legendary within the paranormal community. Let's take a look at a few of these. One of the most well-known is the investigation of the Amityville Horror House. In 1975, the Lutz family moved into a house in Amityville, New York, where a mass murder had taken place the year before. They claimed to experience intense paranormal activity and fled the house after just 28 days. This case spawned books, movies, and numerous investigations. While many have questioned the validity of the Lutz family's claims, the Amityville case remains one of the most famous in paranormal history. Another legendary investigation is the Enfield Poltergeist. In 1977, a single mom and her four children in Enfield, England, reported strange occurrences in their home, including furniture moving on its own and knocking sounds. The case was investigated by Maurice Gross and Guy-Leon Playfair of the Society for Psychical Research. While skeptics have offered alternative explanations, the Enfield case remains one of the most well-documented poltergeist investigations. The Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California, has been the subject of numerous ghost hunts. Sarah Winchester, the widow of the man who invented the Winchester rifle, continuously built onto this mansion for 38 years, supposedly to appease the spirits of those killed by Winchester rifles. The house's bizarre architecture and Sarah's eccentric behavior have made it a favorite location for paranormal activities. In recent years, the investigation of Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky has gained some fame. This nightclub, featured on numerous paranormal TV shows, is said to be haunted by multiple spirits. Investigators have reported everything from physical attacks to EVPs and apparitions. Now, I know we've been talking a lot about ghosts and spirits, but it's important to address the elephant in the room, or should I say the skeptic in the seance. Ghost hunting definitely isn't without its critics, and many in the scientific community remain unconvinced by the evidence presented for paranormal activity. Skeptics argue that many ghostly phenomena can be explained by natural causes. For example, EMF spikes might be caused by faulty wiring, cold spots by drafts, and EVPs by audio pareidolia, our brain's tendency to find familiar patterns in random noise. There's also the issue of confirmation bias. When we're in a spooky location and expecting to encounter something paranormal, we might be more likely to interpret ambiguous stimuli as evidence of, well, ghostly activity. But, you know, a lot of modern ghost hunters are aware of these criticisms and actively work to address them. They often approach their investigations with a scientific mindset, attempting to rule out natural explanations before considering paranormal ones. Some researchers are even trying to bridge the gap between paranormal investigation and mainstream science. For example, Dr. Jim Huron, a research psychologist, has conducted studies on the psychology of ghost hunting and paranormal experiences. The Society for Scientific Exploration, founded in 1982, provides a forum for scientists to present and discuss unconventional ideas, including those related to paranormal phenomenon. So while not specifically focused on ghost hunting, this organization demonstrates that there are scientists willing to seriously consider these topics. Ultimately, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the scientific method provides a valuable framework for ghost hunting. By forming hypotheses, gathering data, and analyzing results objectively, ghost hunters can contribute to our understanding of unexplained phenomena, whether those turn out to be paranormal or not. So what is next for this fascinating field? Well, technology will undoubtedly continue to play a really big role. We're already seeing things like ghost hunting apps for smartphones, and as technology advances, we might see even more sophisticated tools for investigations. Imagine AI-powered analysis of EVPs. Virtual and augmented reality could also change the game. Maybe in the future, ghost hunters will use things like AR and VR. Who knows? The rise of citizen science might also impact ghost hunting. With even more people having access to investigation tools and the ability to share their findings online, we could see larger scale collaborative investigations. There's also a growing interest in the intersection of ghost hunting and other fields. Some researchers are exploring the potential connections between paranormal experiences and neuroscience or quantum physics. Ultimately, the future of ghost hunting isn't just about the technology and the science. There is a growing emphasis on ethics in the field. So a lot of ghost hunters are advocating for more respectful approaches to investigation, particularly when it comes to historical sites or locations with cultural significance. Whatever the future holds, one thing is for sure. As long as there are unexplained phenomena, there will be curious individuals ready to investigate them. The methods might change, but the fundamental drive to understand the unknown remains the same. And there you have it, my beautiful friend, a whirlwind tour through the history of ghost hunting, from ancient shamans to smartphone-wielding paranormal investigators. Whether you're a skeptic or a true believer, there is no denying the enduring appeal of ghost hunting. It definitely taps into our deepest curiosities about life, death, and what might lie beyond. So the next time you hear an unexplained creak in the night or feel a sudden chill in an empty room, remember, you're part of a long tradition of humans trying to understand the mysterious and the unknown. If you enjoyed this episode, and I really hope that you did, please follow for more and share it with the ones you like and love, because sharing is caring. Send us your spooky stories and questions on Instagram, Facebook, or via email at hello@themediummatters.com. Head over to themediummatters.com to join our free newsletter, where we talk about upcoming moon cycles, rituals for the seasons, everyday magic, and more. Until next time, I am your beautiful host, reminding you to keep your mind open, your flashlight handy, and your EMF meter charged. You never know what you might discover beyond the veil.